Welcome to the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Calabrese, CPG advisor and now founder of It's All Happening, an agency that helps brands with launch strategy. Tune in as we break down ways that successful female entrepreneurs are using to build their businesses. You'll hear stories of the people who make shit happen, overcoming struggles and celebrating the wins. We cover how brands are taking products to market, tactics that work, things that have failed, and just lessons learned from out in the field. Whether you're looking for inspiration, industry secrets, or launching a brand, this is the place. Okay, you guys, I just hung up with Ali Ball. She's the founder and CEO of Food Biz Wiz and the creator of Retail Ready. If you're in this industry and you don't know Ali, well, you absolutely need to know her, let me tell you. She is a total badass former buyer that is just a wealth of knowledge in the CPG sales grocery world. Retail Ready is an online program that has really provided strategic support, curated curriculum, and a values-aligned community for over 3,000 producers of packaged products in the food industry. That is a lot, you guys. She's touched a lot of brands. And as a former grocery buyer turned wholesale consultant, Ali has helped thousands of emerging brands understand what it takes to get on shelf and have high sales once you're there. I can't wait for you guys to hear this conversation. She also has an award-winning podcast about wholesale strategy. You can check it out at the Food Biz Wiz podcast, where there's over 250 episodes. And oh my gosh, she has a freebie that I'm going to link below too that is super helpful. It's 100 reasons why a buyer says no to your product line and how to turn it into a yes. So I will absolutely drop that link in the show notes because you need to have that cheat sheet. So without further ado, my conversation with Ali Ball of Food Biz Wiz. Ali Ball, welcome to the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited for this convo.
Yes, me too. So Ali, you are the founder of this really cool program called Retail Ready. And guys, if you don't know it, you should really know it. It's a online community for founders who are looking to grow their wholesale in a way that works for them. And if you're a regular here on my podcast, you know that I'm all about founders building businesses that work for them on their own terms. So thank you for your work and the amazing things that you do for people in this business. So thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I know that's one of the things you and I really connect about, like building business on your own terms. So happy to be here.
Absolutely. So before we dive in, I'm going to ask you the question that I ask everyone that comes to my podcast. What are you currently hustling for? And I feel like I should start prefacing that with, when I say that, I don't mean like toxic hustle or like hustle culture. Yeah. Like, what are you working towards, moving towards right now?
Yeah. Okay. Personally, I'm just working towards a vacation next week. So I'm like wrapping everything up. I've got my like out of office schedule. So working towards vacation. But in the business, the thing that I'm really excited about is earlier this year, we did a beta launch of our Coach CPG AI tools that are all these sales tools for writing better sales emails and crafting subject lines that get wholesale buyers' attention and creating quarterly marketing plans and all of that sort of stuff. So we beta launched it, got really, really great feedback, rolled it out slowly inside of our Retail Ready program. And now we're on like V2 of the product and really tweaking in all these like dialing in all these little tiny details to make it even more in the voice of Ali, right? It's like having like me in your back pocket as you're writing sales emails. So that's what I'm hustling for, like really, really getting that second version of Coach CPG dialed in and out into the world.
I love it. What was the feedback that you were hearing from folks inside Retail Ready that you needed to develop this new product?
Yeah, great question. So two things that I was hearing. One, I heard that people, and you know, we know this, that folks were like, okay, Ali, I know what I need to do. I've learned it in Retail Ready. You've given me the templates. Like, you know, I know what I need to do. And I still don't feel like I have enough time in my day. So I'm speaking like from the founder perspective here, but, and I know I need to use AI. Like I should be using AI in my business. But Allie, like I go into ChatGPT, I like put in, I ask it to help me write a sales email and it spits out this thing that just sounds like weirdo, like tech bro. And I've learned in Retail Ready not to speak like that. So what do I do? So I really, you know, started thinking about like, how can we solve this? How can we have our founders write better sales emails, like use AI in a way that is trained on what we teach inside of Retail Ready? So, you know, of course, I like took all of our trainings from Retail Ready, all of our curriculum and workbooks and scripts and all of that sort of stuff, and created this knowledge base that we could train our own GPTs off of. And to really develop tools that were in line with what we were teaching inside of Retail Ready. So one, it was just like faster implementation and using AI in a way that is aligned with what we're teaching. And then the other reason was I would have people, you know, founders be like, okay, Retail Ready seems really cool. It's exactly what I need, Allie. But I think I can just go ask ChatGPT like how to do it myself. And I was like, okay. You go try that. You go try that. Sure. Like, and like, I'll see you in 6 months when you're not getting responses to those, you know, generic sales emails that you're sending or cash flow isn't where you need it to be or whatever. I'm all about AI, clearly, right? Like, we built these tools, but like,
same.
You know, good content in, good content out. Bad content in, like bad content out. So it was really, really, it was in response to what our students were saying inside of Retail Ready.
So Allie, you're a former retail buyer turned educator, entrepreneur slash podcaster, retired podcaster. Why did you decide to get out of buying and move into this type of business? So tell us about your background.
So I was a grocery buyer, head of grocery retail store manager for a long, long time at Byright Market, Byright Family of Businesses here in San Francisco, where I still live. When I first started there, I was working at the 18th Street location. It was back when it was a single location. And my role was finding products for our shelves. This was like 2008, 2009, 2010. Finding products for our shelves and being responsible for the sales in the grocery department. So I was managing about 3,500 SKUs and working directly with emerging brands to put them on our shelves. And, you know, this was back way before Fair, like before Range, maybe before like Instagram, right? It was like, I was like really doing my homework to find these brands. And I would find...
How did you find them?
How did I find them? Yeah, that's a great question.
No, now that you're saying, now that you're like talking about it.
How did we do it back then? Yeah.
How did you?
So it was a bunch of different things. One, of course, there were trade shows, right? Like I've been going to Expo West for 15 years, right? Like I've been going to Fancy Food for the longest time possible. So trade shows were one, but those are the bigger brands, right? And I was very fortunate, am still very fortunate to live in San Francisco where it really is a hub for emerging brands. So I was going to underground farmers markets. I was going to like pop-up events, like, you know, like craft fairs where there would be a jam producer.
Yeah, exactly.
And really fortunately, Byright at this point was, you know, nationally known as the like, darling in specialty food. It was Zingerman's in Ann Arbor and Byright in San Francisco. And so I would receive, you know, and this was like, you know, 15 years ago, I would receive dozens of samples left for me, shipped to me, you know, like left on my desk every single week because people really wanted to be in Byright. It was a really beautiful position to be in where I was able to act almost as this in-house consultant for Byright, helping brands understand what it took to succeed on our shelves. Because it was so important for us to have a really unique product set, it meant that I was often the first wholesale account for brands. And so that also meant brands didn't know what they were doing. So we had to have like a lot of patience with these young brands and coach them on what it meant to be successful in wholesale. And so, you know, long story short, I loved that role. I loved the product discovery. I loved coaching founders. And then we decided to open a second location by right to Visit Aero. And it's about 3 miles away, still in San Francisco. And my role shifted and I became heads down in the P&L of the grocery department. And so it meant every week I was reading financial statements, I was making decisions about, you know, margin and sales in our department. And I became much more disconnected from the founders themselves, from the brands themselves. You know, while that financial health, you know, of running, you know, we did, I think, about $35 million in sales that first year that we were open. You know, like being in charge of that is such a valuable education, right? And I really missed the brands. So I knew, you know, one of my biggest values is impact. And so I knew that I could have such a bigger impact in the food industry if I left Byright and started a consultancy around helping these brands understand how to succeed in the world of wholesale. Yeah, so I left Byright 11 years ago and started Food Biz Wiz. And for a long time, I did a lot of consulting. I split my time. I did a lot of consulting with other retailers across the U.S. So training grocery teams, doing category reviews, inventory management, merchandising, all that sort of stuff. So really seeing the landscape of grocery in the U.S. while building up that brand side, particularly, you know, emerging brands don't have that big of budgets, right? So it was really important in the first few years of my consulting to have that retail revenue stream as well.
You probably saw a lot of brands fail, didn't you?
Oh my God. Yeah. And it's just heartbreaking.
Saw a lot of failed brands, I would imagine. Like people you bring
thousands.
In and then
thousands.
And then they're just gone. Or, you know, it's like you go to place a reorder and that's it, right?
Yeah, totally. And even, you know, back then when brands like didn't really need to have an online presence, right? It would be, I would go to place an order and it was just poof, like into the ether. You know, there was no Instagram to DM them on. There was nothing, like there was no way of finding them.
So how, okay, I want to talk about that piece a lot for sure. But before that, so like, I'm curious the vision for Retail Ready and like how clearly like you figured out that there was, you know, a gap in the market. There was like this white space where brands wanted to get out there, but they didn't have the information. And that's how you developed Food Biz Wiz.
Yeah, exactly. And it was really this perspective, or realizing that the perspective that was missing in the conversation was the grocery buyer's perspective, right? The wholesale buyer's perspective. And so, you know, let's be honest, 11 years ago, yeah, marketers were talking about how to sell your product. Other consultants were talking about how to sell your product. There was a little bit of financial education available, but like it was a very different landscape 11 years ago. And I'm really grateful that it has shifted, right? Like these food founders need all the help that they can get. But, you know, 11 years ago, it was really hard. It still is really hard to get a grocery buyer to talk to you, right? So that was the perspective that was missing. And I was really frustrated where it felt like a lot of the advice that founders were getting was just from other founders who were trying to figure it out, or other consultants who were founders who didn't figure it out. And then they went on to advise other brands, a lot of like what not to do, but no one was really saying like, here's what to do to attract the attention of wholesale buyers. So yeah, there was that white space. And then also I was a few years into consulting and I was booked out. I didn't have the capacity to take on any more one-on-one clients. And again, right, like if it goes back to this, to my big value of impact, I was like, okay, how can I reach more people? Like, how can I educate more early stage brands at a lower price point and put them in community, right? Because again, I launched Retail Ready about 8 years ago. And back then, like, there weren't Slack groups for online, or for, you know, for founders. There weren't, like, there, this like did not exist. So that even, gosh, I'm like dating myself here, but the first version of Retail Ready, when I launched it in 2018, The first version, we literally, for the group calls, we all dialed into a conference line. Like, we weren't even on Zoom. You know, it was like teleconferencing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, right? But like, so I was like, I know that I can, I hate this word, but I can scale my consulting if I create a group program. And, you know, since then, we've had over 3,500 brands go through the program. It's where I spend, I never thought that it would grow to be this size. You know, I'm so proud of it. But, you know, it's where I spend 95% of my time at this point. Like, we do Retail Ready and we do it really, really well. And that's about all that we do.
Do you do one-on-one anymore?
I do. Yeah, I do one-on-one. And typically it is for founders who have graduated from Retail Ready. They've gone through the Retail Ready program and they don't need more trainings. They don't need more curriculum, right? They're like, okay, what is getting in the way? Like, oh, it's me. Like, I'm the problem. And so, you know, and I really, like, I saw that in myself in growing my business, you know, over the past decade or so. I saw the value in hiring coaches and having that one-on-one coaching support. So back in 2019, I went and did a leadership coaching certification program. And really, like, saw this need with our Retail Ready graduate. So, yeah, I do carry a few one-on-ones at a time. But the spots open so rarely because, you know, folks, you know, I'm like, I keep them for years. You know, I've got two clients that I've been working with for 4 years one-on-one.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, like, really, really long engagements because it works, right? Like, one-on-one coaching is powerful.
Have you been researching your CPG launch for months, but you just still feel stuck? I get it. Most founders spend too long getting ready and they really just miss their moment. I'm hosting a free Power Hour workshop to show you why 85% of CPG brands fail and why the 15% who survive do it differently. I'm going to teach the 4 mission critical phases of building a CPG food and beverage business that will set you up for a head-turning launch. And if you show up live on August 14th or 16th, you will get a free month in my founder community, which is a $99 value. No replays, and you have to show up live. Ready to stop researching and start launching? Grab your spot now. Okay, so Allie, tell us about Retail Ready and, like, what is it? For the person who doesn't know you, what is Retail Ready?
Yes. Okay. Retail Ready is an online program that helps early stage brands. So food, beverage, taxable grocery. Basically, if you can be sold on the shelves at Whole Foods, right? Helps early stage brands develop sales systems. It really helps you pitch with confidence so you can land more wholesale accounts, retail, food service, hospitality, whatever it is. And then develop doable, realistic, effective quarterly marketing plans so you increase sales in those accounts. So it's a combination of curriculum, group coaching calls, and private community. And then, of course, now our Coach CPG AI sales tools, all designed to help founders grow from their first 5 to 5,000 wholesale accounts.
I love this. And you're going to be a contributor in the upcoming CPG School Launch Lab. I can't wait for that. I really am so excited to have you as a contributor. Can you just share a little bit about what you're going to be teaching inside of CPG School Launch Lab?
Yeah, we're going to talk about sales pitches and all the language to use when you're pitching to wholesale buyers. So, I mean, this is kind of getting into, I'll give a little sneak peek, but, like, I see a lot of mistakes in sales pitches, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it all. And so the session that I'm going to do is really about how do we craft a pitch? I've got a 4-step process. How do we craft this pitch that captures the attention of wholesale buyers, that gives them a reason to say yes to your product line and that urgency to place an opening purchase order.
So Allie's going to be a contributor. I want to get into the common mistakes because I know that you've seen a lot and you've seen a lot of failures and just you've seen a lot of pitches over the years. So what are some of the most common mistakes that you see founders make when they are just getting going and they're starting to pitch. Like they're trying to develop their like pitch voice, right?
Yeah.
They're like founder sales voice.
Yes.
So I want to unpack, like, just like give it to us. Like what are some of the most common mistakes?
Like, where do I start? How much time do we have here? Right. And it's funny that you say sales voice, because one of the mistakes I see is that people turn into these weird robots when they start to do sales. And there is like a robot sales voice that comes in, or oftentimes there's like an urgency or like a rushing to get in all the information you want to say in your pitch without remembering that that wholesale buyer is a real person, right? You can have, I like to think about it as a sales conversation rather than a sales pitch. You can ask them questions. You can get feedback from them. You can treat them like a normal person instead of turning into this like weirdo robot in your pitches.
Great point.
Right? Like let's drop the sales pitch voice. It's not helping anyone. But one of the biggest mistakes that I see is pitching in the same way for direct-to-consumer sales and your wholesale accounts, right? And I know why people do this, right? As early-stage founders, we are trained to sell our product direct-to-consumer, right? That might be at farmers markets. It might be just talking to friends and family and like convincing them that your product is worthwhile. It might be at demos, like when you're in your like first few retail accounts. And so we're trained to sell our product direct to consumer. But what we fail to realize is that when we get into the retail conversations, into those wholesale buyer conversations, we got to change the way we're pitching, because that retail buyer, that wholesale buyer, they don't care that your product's delicious. They don't care that you're female founded. They don't care that you're local or that you're sustainable or that you're like, you know, solid shampoo bars are really like the most gentle on scalps, right? Like they don't care. What they actually care about is your product going to help them meet their category goals? So one of the biggest mistakes I see is using that same pitch direct to consumer and to wholesalers. And we really need to stop doing that, right? So if you're listening here and you feel like wholesale buyers aren't giving you the time of day, they're not responding to your sales emails, they're never placing first orders, that's the first thing we want to change, is the language that you're using in that sales pitch. So Dee, we'll go into that in your class together. We'll dig deeper into the nuances there. But just that, like switching the language is a big one.
Huge one, yeah.
And then another one, I'm like, I can get on a soapbox all day long about this one, is just dropping by stores and trying to get your product into the hands of buyers. And leaving, you know, typically what happens is you just swing by. The buyer sees you coming. Like, we can see you a mile away. You're probably like a little bit nervous. You've got your product in like a brown craft bag with a sell sheet peeking out and a business card like stapled to the side of the bag. Like, we can see you. We know what's happening here. And so I'm like, this is just me as a buyer, right? I see what's coming and I freaking book it to the walk-in and I hide as fast as possible, because I do not have time to taste through your adaptogenic latte line. I just don't, right? And so then typically what happens is the founders, you know, they ask the cashier, is the grocery buyer here? Cashier knows what's up. So they're like, no, sorry, they're in a meeting. They can't meet with you, but I can take the samples. And this gets...
And it goes into a box. Yeah.
It goes into a box. Or it goes into the staff break room. Or it goes home with that cashier, right? Like, I mean, let's say best case scenario, your lattes look incredible. They look really delicious. They're like, oh, shoot. Like, I want this.
Cool.
This looks cool. I'm tired. I know that we already sell a lot of cold brew coffee. And, you know, like, I don't think the buyer's interested in this anyway. So like, I'm going to drink this on my lunch break.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's a worst case scenario here. It's like a best case scenario. Your products really captured the attention of the cashier and they love it. And so they take them home. Right. And worst case scenario, they end up in the sample box. Right. And again, like, maybe your refrigerated lattes are ending up in this shelf stable sample box above the buyer's desk. And, you know, then all of a sudden, like, I'm not going to try them 3 months later because they were meant to be refrigerated. Sell sheet is separated from the samples. You know, they're like expired, all that stuff. And the worst part here, clearly I could get like riled up about this. Okay. The worst part here too is then as the founder, you don't know what's happened with
no
your samples.
None.
The follow-up conversation is very, very different when you know whether or not the buyer has tried your samples, right? And so if we just blindly leave samples all over the place, we actually are, you know, really then like operating in the dark here. We don't know how to follow up. We don't know what to say next. We don't know where we are in that sales pipeline. So yeah, one of the mistakes that I see all the time is swinging by, interrupting the buyer's workday, leaving samples with the wrong person and getting put in that like really dreaded sample box.
I feel like those are like two really big ones, the right pitch and also just like the strategy in general. So what is the, what like super high level, what is the right way to go about it?
Yeah. Like how do you actually like get a hold of that buyer? Okay. Yeah. So the listeners are going to hate me, but
They're gonna thank you later.
Here's the tough love, right? There's no easy shortcut to getting a hold of the wholesale buyer, right? So it is literally picking up the phone and calling the store. It is sending sales emails that work. It is getting in front of the buyer at a trade show, an industry event, a networking night, right? It is like literally pounding the pavement and putting in the time. There are some really great tools now that can help shorten that time, right? Like help us get the right buyer email addresses or, you know, things like that. But at the end of the day, I always think about this. I'm like, what good does the buyer email address do for you if you don't know what to say in the sales email, right? So we really, really need to get clear. Or even, you know, I know that this is what you help with brands on too. It's like, what good is doing sales if you're not making money off every single sale, right? Like if your margins are out of whack, if you're selling in the wrong channels, right? If you're just chasing these sales without any rock solid business foundation, financial foundation, sales strategy, channel strategy, right? Like it's just a waste of everybody's time. So on a high level, right, we pick up the phone and call the store. We ask to speak to the buyer. If we get them on the phone, I mean, wonderful. That's such a blessing. Like we do the pitch right then and there. Amazing. If we don't, we go through this whole series of sales emails that we send to that buyer.
I'm sure, like, I know you've got like a whole series of sales emails and all of that, but like, I would imagine that inside of that, if you already have some stores and you are seeing some traction, it's important to put in your pitch email specific velocity numbers, right?
100%.
My product is moving X amount of units, contributing X amount of dollars per SKU per week, et cetera. What do you say to the brand, though, that doesn't have a single wholesale account, right? How should you position yourself if you literally, this account that you're pitching to is your first account? Your potential first account.
Okay. And this happens a lot, right? And I really like to reassure founders that everybody starts at zero accounts. Like Chobani started having at zero accounts on day one, right? Like zero. Everybody starts at zero. So what do we do? And you're totally spot on here that buyers, we're numbers people. So we want the data, right? We want sales velocity. We want margin. Like, you know, we want the numbers to work out for our categories. So if you don't have any sales history, you don't have any wholesale accounts, here's what we do. We use data that is connected to the category, and we talk about where we fill in that white space, right? So maybe, I'm just going to make this up here. Maybe you are launching, let's go back to our latte example, right? And you've got like golden milk lattes and you're using turmeric and you're using adaptogens and like all these beautiful things. Maybe you talk about how ready to drink lattes as a category are up 23% year over year in specialty groceries. Maybe you talk about how turmeric has been a trending ingredient and is on the Whole Foods, like, you know, new and noteworthy product list 3 years in a row, right? We really talk about the category rather than your product.
Your specific performance.
And that's okay, yep. Right? Like, you know, we can talk about the category. And, you know, then even as you are getting sales and you're starting to gather that data, we go back and we change those sales emails, right? Like, that's okay. The pitch is a living, breathing, you know, document that we modify over time, right? Like, we want
to,
like, add the new brags. Totally. It's got to, and it even evolves seasonally, right? Like, what we're saying in January is a very different pitch than what we're saying in September, right? We've got to really respect that rhythm of retail and understand what's going on at the store level throughout the calendar year and how we tailor our pitch. I'm actually thinking of Alyssa with Olin. I know that you and I have both worked with her. And, you know, she's the best. And really thinking about her pitch to retailers and thinking about that white space, right? So, like, and didn't have that many retail accounts, like, really thinking about the pitch here and identifying, okay, there's all these premium cake mixes out there.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That are, like, selling at, you know, above $10 price point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they're, by and large, they're allergen friendly. They're gluten free. They're, like, you know, free of top 9 allergens and things like that. And if we look at the population, only 1% of the population has celiac, right? And so it's like, okay, where is this space here? Like, where is room for these high end cake mixes that target the other 99% of the population? Right. So really just thinking about, like, yeah, even just like that number itself, right? Like, we can, like, use some of those numbers and put them in the sales pitch. So the buyer is like, okay, cool. I can see that this brand understands the rules of retail. And they're not just pitching me with, like, I make delicious jam. Like, I have bees on my roof and I make the best honey ever, right? Like, I don't care.
Totally. Okay. These are all such great points, Allie. Thank you so much. So obviously you offer a ton of content and education inside Retail Ready, but how do you think that your community offers founders support in their life cycle? Like, at what point should a founder come in and start working with you? And then, like, at what point should they exit? Like, what's the off-ramp look like?
Great question. So we have two types of founders who join us in Retail Ready. We either have the ones who are, you know, I said, like, first 5 stores, first, I would say, even up to, like, first 50 stores. And you're really getting your feet, you know, wet in wholesale. You are, like, some things are working. You're really proud. I mean, gosh, you've put in so much work already. And you're looking, like, out, you know, on the horizon and you're like, oh, shit, like, this is really hard. This is, like, this is so much more work.
This is a long road.
This is a long road without much money in it for me. Like, what? Something's got to shift here, right? And so those founders come in. And they're like, okay, you know, before I expand, before I add in brokers and distributors, I want to have this rock solid foundation of wholesale so that I really understand, so that I am the best person to do sales in my company. I know what to say. I know what promotions work on shelf. I know the messaging for consumers. I know the messaging for buyers, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And I really want to systematize it while I'm still small enough to systematize it, right? Before it feels like a nest that we have to untangle. So I love, you know, I love that type of founder, right? Who's like, Allie, I'm so busy. This is usually what we hear. Like, I'm so busy, but I know that because I'm so busy, I need to do it right the first time around. I won't have time to come back and fix my mistakes if I'm just kind of, you know, duct taping this business together.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the one type of founder, right? And I love that. So really early stage, under, like, 50 wholesale accounts. Like, it can be food service, it can be retail, it can be e-com, like, it doesn't matter. I should have called Retail Ready Wholesale Ready, but that just doesn't have the same ring to it.
Yeah, and yeah. No, Retail Ready sounds better. Yes.
There's this other founder that comes in. They're typically you know, a couple years into their business. They might be like closer to that $1 million mark, couple million in revenue annually.
Yeah.
And they're burnt out.
Uh-huh.
And they're really concerned about their cash flow. I mean, we all are, but like, they're, sure. You know, they're like, I got 90 days runway left. I've got a broker. I don't know what they're doing for me. I've got a distributor. I don't even know where my products are sold. I don't even know what they're doing, right? Like, I'm not profitable. And Allie, like, I've got 90 days to fix it. I'm like,
yeah,
okay. Like, buckle up. I'm like, we're going to do our best here, but it's a very different energy.
Uh-huh.
Coming into retail ready, building upon the momentum that you've already created, like coming in while you're still excited about sales, then maybe nervous about sales versus being like, this is my last resort. I've got to fix it. Or otherwise I'm like throwing in the towel.
I'm going to call it a day.
Yeah. And so the like, and I don't say that to like tell people that it's ever like too late to come into retail ready, but I say it to be really encouraging that as soon as you are ready, like as soon as you realize like what got you here, right? Like the incredible free podcast, the free webinars, the Slack groups, like what got you here was wonderful.
Yeah.
But you need something else to get you there.
Yeah.
Right. And that's when I say invest in, you know, retail ready, any other program, a consultant, an incubator, like whatever it is. But like really starting to build the systems is really important. And then the last piece I'll say on that is I can't tell you how many brands we work with who think that they can just get a broker or a distributor and that will solve their sales problems. And I mean, like,
yeah, I've right? seen You've so heard much this. Of that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So much of it.
And, you know, I mean, speaking of mistakes that folks make like really thinking that brokers and distributors will solve their sales problems. And one of the heartbreaks I see is people who have spent so much money in those partnerships only to realize that, again, they didn't have the sales foundations in place. When you hire a broker distributor, you still have to manage them. You have to set expectations. You have to understand what you're getting into. You have to know, like, what sort of transparency in the relationship you're going to have, like what communication, like, you know, what the contract says, what you're going to do when you get a $10,000 charge back from the distributor, all of that sort of stuff. And so it's really important for me. Like my dream is that people come and take Retail Ready before they get into those relationships, because we can save them, you know, so much time, so much money, so much margin as they go into those partnerships with their eyes wide open.
Yeah. Well, you and I have the same dreams, because it's my dream that people come to the CBG School Launch Lab before they have invested any money in their brand. So they come super early stage, before they have spent all the money on the branding agency and all the money with a food scientist and all the money on different consultants, mm-hmm. and really gotten nowhere. So it's my like education platform is the same thing, except I'm, you know, we come a little bit earlier.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Like the dream would be they go and take Launch Lab with you, and then they take Retail Ready afterwards, right? I think that really is like a beautiful 1-2 combo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And though we do cover sales and distribution, it's not in the in-depth way that Retail Ready is, because there's also many other things that you have to do to get a brand off the ground. So it's like, it's an area that's covered, but there's so much to it. And if you don't come from this industry and this isn't your background, it's crucial to educate yourself in the sales aspect and the distribution aspect of things, because it's what determines the success of your company. I help people lay the foundation to make sure that the cost of goods are in line, right? That we're priced properly, that we're thinking about our channel strategy, right? That we're working with the right food scientists, the right co-packers, we're asking them the right questions. We're thinking about our marketing strategy properly. We've checked the boxes, we've trademarked, right? We've like assigned, like legal protections around our IP, et cetera. But there's so much more to it. And if you're new, you need to continually educate yourself. Like, you wouldn't try and go and be a lawyer without educating yourself. Like, I feel like in CPG, people think like they can just kind of like wing it. Shoot from the hip because it is creative, right? There is a lot of creativity that goes into building a CPG business. And oftentimes that's how people get into this industry. That's how I got into this industry, right? Is because I was like making cold press juice and I was making it for myself. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. I should sell this. I have to share it with friends. Wait, I should sell this. And then, flash forward 17 years later of so many mistakes and so many like failed attempts at different things and whatnot, successes, failures, whatnot. But like that was my education, right? So you wouldn't do anything else without educating yourself in what it was that you were doing.
No.
Right?
And you know, I think you're spot on there with brands. I don't know, in this industry, we're in this unique position where brands really do try to wing it for a lot longer than they do it in other industries. And I think part of this, I think you're right, it's the creativity. And I'm going to blame it on the internet, right? Like we see brands, we like think we see all these like overnight successes online. And, you know, we all know it's the highlight reel, but somehow we forget that every time, right? Or we don't actually know that like overnight success is actually a founder's second or third CPG brand that they've launched, right? Oftentimes some of these like flashy brands, it's the founder's like, you know, third go around. They've already learned the lessons and folded their businesses, right? And they've been working behind the scenes for years and years and years, right? And so I see that. And then I also see founders who, you know, I kind of touched on this, but we're like trained to, I don't know, like buy into that hustle culture that you talked about at the beginning, right? That like, I should be able to figure this out myself. Podcasts, Slack channels, free webinars.
There's so much information out there.
Right. Like, oh my gosh, I can save money, right? Because I'm bootstrapping this, right? So like, I should be able to do this on my own. And that's a great starting point. Right. Like I'm not saying that like, yes, please actually like listen to the free stuff and like, you know, take your business as, you know, get your business going. And then also recognize that you don't have to hustle longer. Right. Like it's not a badge of honor to be DIYing it and crying every weekend. We don't want that.
Do you have a CPG product that needs to get to shelf? And you're just tired of figuring it out alone, this is for you. I made Launch Lab for you. It's a 10-week accelerator built on my proven It's All Happening launch formula, the same system behind 30-plus successful launches and 50 million in sales. It's an operator-led, hands-on guidance with real expert connections, weekly live sessions, and a supportive community. I bring in amazing contributors who are experts in their field to teach workshops within the Launch Lab cohort. Jessica Lang said, I wish I found Danielle when I first started. Her playbook would have saved me so much time and money. The next Done With Me cohort isn't until 2026, and the cart closes on August 24th. If you're ready to join the 15% who survive, enroll now. You can learn more on my website at itsallhappeningagency.co. Another one that I have seen too with founders is that founders have, if they have found success in other industries or other businesses, they think they can take that success and just translate it over to this business. And sometimes it is true. Sometimes people really just do have this like magnetic secret sauce, like not all, very rarely, but like sometimes there are those people that are like just inherently successful and, and they can take that and translate it to another industry. But I'll bet those people also are ones who like hire and ask for help and like educate themselves and whatnot.
Have funding. But,
Exactly. Yeah. But then there's people who are like, oh, I've had all of this success in tech or pharmaceuticals or fashion or this. And now I'm just going to go do a beverage or a product or whatever, a food product or a snack or something. And they get here and they realize, oh, wow, this is very different. I see a lot of that.
I see a ton of that, you know, especially being in San Francisco, we've got, you know, tech industry here. I can't tell you how many people are like, oh, I want to like, I'm burnt out from my tech job. I want to do something that like feels more connected to the people. I'm going to start my food business.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you see this, but the underlying emotion is a lot of shame, right? Like I should be better at this. I was
really
smart.
I should be able to figure this out.
Yeah. I was really smart and successful in this other industry. Like, why can't I figure this out?
Well, and I think I've heard you say it before in your podcast, and it really is so true that they're just historically, this industry has just been like, you know, gatekept.
Yeah.
So hard to figure things out. And especially like from the buyer perspective as well too, which I think is why your business is so unique. Like you bring that perspective that is just really hard to understand and tap into what the buyer actually wants and what they're looking for and how to approach them. And I think historically there's been a lot of gatekeeping in this industry, and that's, I can't stand that. Like it really bothers me. And I'm just like, information should be out there on how to be successful or not be successful in this industry. That doesn't mean that piecing together, you know, podcasts and like free downloads and like, you know, ChatGPT is how you should run your business, but there should be approachable ways to be able to educate yourself on how to be successful.
Yeah. That was the whole premise of Food Biz Wiz, right? That I felt that way, right? Like I was in my early 20s in this buyer role. I was sitting around, you know, a table of middle-aged white dudes and me. I mean, I'm a white woman, you know, but, you know, being half the age of all these dudes in the room and, you know, just feeling like they were looking down at me, didn't understand what I brought to the table. And they were throwing around like all this industry jargon that literally like I would write down on my clipboard, right? You know, like BOGO, like EDLP, you know, like a note to self, look this up when I go home.
My.
You know, it was like, I'm like pre-smartphone, right? Or whatever. Like, I felt like such an outsider. And, you know, I just hear it from our retail ready students that, you know, this industry has been historically very homogenous, right? It is the same set of people making decisions at the top. It's about who you know, how you can get a foot in the door, you know, contracts signed on golf courses, handshakes over steak dinners, you know, after parties at Expo West. And rightfully or not rightfully so, like I know why they do that, right? Like we want to like keep the same people at the top. And so if we can make this information more accessible, it literally changes the products on our shelves. It changes the food on our table. It changes who we're employing in our communities. I mean, nothing but positive impact when we have more diverse product sets in retail.
Totally. So thank you so much, Allie. My last question for you is, what sage advice would you give to a founder that is just starting out today?
Yeah. You touched on it actually, but I'll say that if it doesn't work on paper, it's not going to work in person.
Yeah.
So
knowing
your financials and building in profit from the beginning.
Right.
Like we have to do this. Otherwise, we're just creating really expensive hobbies and we don't have time for that. Right. So really, really knowing your numbers, knowing your financials from the beginning. And from there, we can figure out how to sell your product no matter what the price point is. But know your numbers.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that. In Launch Lab, that's exactly where we start, is knowing your numbers and making sure that you're building a profitable business from the beginning. So thank you so much. Allie, where can people find out about you, hear about all of your upcoming programs? I know you have like so much cool stuff coming up. How should they find out about it all?
Couple different ways. I would say the easiest one is come and find me on Instagram. I'm at foodbizwiz. I love following new brands there. So send me a DM. Actually, if you DM me the word rebuttal, I'll send you back, or you know, Basil the bot will send you back our 100 buyer knows cheat sheet. It's 100 different reasons why a wholesale buyer is going to say no to your product line and how turn that no into a yes. So just DM me the word rebuttal and you'll get it back in your DMs. And of course, you can find me at foodbizwiz.com.
Thank you so much, Allie, for sharing all of your amazing insights and knowledge. And I will see you somewhere, like probably at a trade show or something soon. I can't wait. In person.
I can't wait. Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Yeah. Thanks, Allie. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. It would mean so much to me if you like, subscribe, or share this episode with anyone who you think needs to hear. And if you're launching a brand and you need a CPG strategy advisor, visit my website to check out what we have to offer. I host free workshops from time to time. You have to sign up for emails to hear about those. And you can join Launch Lab, which is our group cohort that teaches you the four critical phases of launching your CPG brand and how to actually execute your launch quickly. We also do one-on-one advising. So if you book a profit plan session, I will assess your product profitability and recommend a package that works for you. You can book a call at itsallhappeningagency.co. You can email us at hi@itsallhappeningagency.co. And follow us on Instagram at It's All Happening Co. See you soon.